Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "It's not the conditions that gets the results, it's the system." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who uses systems to get results. Today's Playmaker calls herself and her people financial Sherpas. With us today is a CEO and founder who had three clients this year that made the Fortune 5000 list of fastest growing companies in America. This great playmaker is Brooke Lively. Brooke is CEO and founder of Cathedral Capital, which is based in Fort Worth, and it's an outsourced CFO company with a consortium of CFOs and profitability strategists committed to equipping entrepreneurs and small business leaders with the critical tools and expertise to take their business to the next level. Brooke Lively and her team offer custom-tailored programs to help business owners with financial strategy to grow their companies. Her mission is to make meaningful connections with her clients, helping them design and realize their unique vision of success. Brooke is also the author of Six Key Numbers Every Entrepreneur Should Know. It's a framework that helps clients improve their profitability and sustainability, which ultimately creates a successful work-life balance. Interesting. Brooke, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you about something I saw on your website, and it's mistakes. Three mistakes that business owners make that get them into financial trouble. So my question to you are, what are those three financial mistakes?
Well, we see these so often. The first one is that most entrepreneurs don't have an accurate financial picture. They don't know where they are. They don't know how much cash they have. They don't know how long it's going to last. The second one, incredibly common, they focus on top-line revenue and not their bottom-line profit. Everybody wants to say, I'm a million-dollar company, or I'm a $10 million company, or a $50 million company. That's great that you've got $50 million in revenue, but if you've got $51 million in expenses, you're not a success. The third one is that entrepreneurs tend to resist change. They like to do things the way they've always done them. Problem is that if, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
The change is very difficult for most people. And this is what you're doing when you go into the company. You're causing them to change the way they're handling their financial structure. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We get people out of their comfort zone. They get very comfortable being stressed and sleepless and worried. And there's a better way to do it that's a lot easier on your psyche.
People would rather continue hurting like that than make the change, and you're causing that to happen. Well, let's talk about your business and what you do. What is it that you do with your clients?
So we work with service-based businesses. So basically, all of our companies run on the billable hour in some way, shape, or form. Lawyers, marketing agencies, psychologists, doctors. And we help them understand what's going on in their financials. We work with them on financial strategy to grow their businesses. They tend to really be, as you mentioned earlier, fast-growing companies. We had three on the Inc. 5000 this year. And they're generally tops in their fields. They're really well educated. They're very knowledgeable. They are experts, but they struggle with managing the finances because that's not their specialty. So we come in and we help them do that. We help them understand. There's a lot about education.
Well, I'm going to ask you more about that, specifically about CFOs in just a few moments, because as having guests on Playmakers Talk Show, I've seen many CEOs come from the CFO office, move into chief executive officer, because they're the ones that understand what that company needs. But let's talk about your story. How did you get here? You have an interesting story about how you became who and what you are today. So how'd that happen?
I read a statistic once that said that the average woman will have seven different careers. Not jobs, careers. And, you know, I think I'm there. This has been a long and winding road.
You have to keep doing things till you find out which one you like or are comfortable with.
That's right. So I graduated from college, had no idea what I wanted to do, ended up in retail. And at 35, I went back to grad school to get a marketing degree because that's what you do, right? Realized really quickly marketing was not my bliss. I was all about the numbers. And so I ended up with this MBA in finance and corporate investments and graduated in 2007. Not a great time to be in the financial world managing money. I worked for a hedge fund for a while. Didn't love it. And so I started running my family's law firm. A little overeducated, but that was okay. And I hired a marketing consultant. And pretty soon his clients started coming to me and saying, can you do for us what you're doing for your law firm? And I was going, well, what am I doing? And I didn't realize I am an incredibly analytical person. I knew before we raised prices, I knew what percentage of our clients we could lose and still make the same money and be doing a whole lot less work.
That analysis is very difficult for a large portion of the population, especially CEOs, which is not their expertise.
No, it's not. And what I learned was this financial background that I had and this very analytical mind, it touches on every single part of a business. So when these people started coming to me and say, can you do for us what you're doing for your law firm? I said, sure, I can, actually.
And at what point did you leave that security of the law firm behind and start your own business?
7 clients.
Well, this reminds me of something else that I found out about you, is that at one point you had a client that was about 85% of your business.
It was actually that marketing consultant. I went to him. I said, I can't make money off of your clients without talking to you. And he said, I'll tell you what, why don't you private label for me? So I did. We had a 3-year contract, and he was 85% of my business. And we ultimately, when the contract was up, the 3-year contract was up, he extended an offer. He wanted me to continue. It was not my bliss. And I realized that that was not what I wanted to do. My people weren't happy in that environment. And so I said, no, thank you. And I didn't renew that contract. And I got to tell you, really scary to fire 85% of your business.
It's a hard pill to swallow.
It is, but ultimately, my people are so much happier. They love working with me, and they're with me. They wouldn't have been with me otherwise. I mean, they would have left.
Sometimes you have to make the hard decisions to move in the right direction, which is essentially what you're teaching your clients to do, too.
Absolutely. There are times when you've got to fire a client, you've got to make a hard decision, you've got to cut a marketing expense, you've got to hire a person before you've got the money in the bank to do it. Sometimes you just have to take that leap of faith and know that it's going to be okay, but back it up with some numbers.
So you're going in and slaying a number of sacred cows in these businesses that they have a hard time touching.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about what a fractional CFO is. When a company needs somebody in there to watch what they're doing, what's a fractional CFO?
Well, the way we work is we do everything over the phone. It's all remote, unless you really need us to come to your office. But we work with companies as, well, really as kind of the nexus, the hub of their financial network. We talk to their accountants. We talk to their bankers. We talk to their bookkeepers. We help manage their bookkeepers. We lock down their financials every month. And we help with the strategy. We identify the problems that are happening in the company. You know, your people aren't producing. The marketing isn't the right marketing option. We're spending too much. We're not getting a good ROI. We're getting a better return on the investment on this marketing than on that. So we're going to shift money. So we meet anywhere from twice a month to 4 times a month with the business owner. And then all those other ancillary people as needed. Our goal is that everybody outgrows our service. And we have had 2 people graduate this year. 2 of the people on the Inc. 5000 list have graduated and gone on and hired full-time in-house people.
And you're in the business to put yourself out of business.
Absolutely.
Depending how long that takes. But you're going in there, you're finding out everything you can about the business. You're probably finding out things they're not aware of. Is that correct?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because it's difficult to really understand how to read a financial statement if you haven't been taught how to do that.
And we do a lot of education. I was on the phone working with a client. He was an attorney. He was in his mid-50s at the time. And we really read his P&L. And I look at a P&L, and there are a thousand things that happen in my brain almost immediately where I'm assimilating the information that I see. And I actually did that for him out loud. And I said, this is what this number says, and this is how it's changing, and this is what it tells me. And we got down to the bottom, and he said, you know what, Brooke? That's the first time I've ever read and understood my P&L. He'd had his own law firm for 20 years, his own successful law firm. And that's amazing to me. So yes, I want our people, I want our clients to learn how to read their own P&L, to learn how to read their balance sheet. I've got someone who just did new financing for her company. She can read a balance sheet now like nobody's business. And that's great. I love that.
And I would think the average CEO or C-suite executive glazes over when they look at a P&L statement, and they probably look at the bottom line.
Well, they look at the top line first.
Top line and then the bottom line.
And then they look at the bottom line, and then they kind of tune out. And because the businesses we work with are small, we work with businesses with revenues between $500,000 and $10 million. At $10 million, you need somebody in-house. When you do that, in that size range, most of the companies have single shareholders. They're all S-corps. And what is really hard for most of them is they look at their P&L. It says they've made, you know, $18,000 this month, and yet they're telling me, I don't have any cash in the bank. I said, well, you're right, you don't. Because you know what? You took $19,000 out to pay yourself. That happens on the balance sheet. They don't see that. So when they look at their P&L and it says that they're making all this money, and they look at their bank account and it says they don't have any money, something's wrong. And they know the bank account's right. So they stop looking at their P&L.
So you're helping put them in a different direction. This isn't something they probably couldn't do themselves, but you're coming in and helping them focus on that. Now, we're speaking with Brooke Lively. Brooke is CEO and founder of Cathedral Capital. Her website is cathcap.com. CathCap, which is short for Cathedral Capital, cathcap.com, to find out more about what Brooke is doing. But I mentioned at the beginning that you and your people are financial Sherpas. Talk about that.
Yeah, I am told all the time that the name of my company is just silly. But it's got a lot of very personal meaning to me. There
is a story behind that, isn't there?
There's a great story behind that. So I spent a lot of time growing up in Colorado and actually lived there for a while. And there is a lake called Cathedral Lake. And it is, I don't know, 1,500 vertical feet, 7 miles. It's a rough hike. And I had tried to hike it before and couldn't make it and quit, shockingly, very close to the top. But I didn't know that at the time. And
interesting. That's where most people quit in life. They're that close, but they don't realize it.
Absolutely. Have you read Think and Grow Rich?
As a Bible, yes.
There's a story in there about the man who mines for gold. And
3 feet away.
3 feet away. I stopped 3 feet from Cathedral Lake. So I decided I was going to go back and hike it again. And I did the hike with my sister, who was a very experienced hiker, had done the hike before, knew what was happening. And she pushed, pulled, cajoled, wheedled me to the top of the mountain. I was 10 years older. I was not in as good a shape as the first time I had tried, but I made it. And I made it because she was knowledgeable, because she knew what was going to happen. And I think about that Sir Edmund Hillary quote, no one has ever climbed Mount Everest by themselves. That's what we do financially. We're financial Sherpas. We know what's coming. We've seen it before. We understand what the ramifications of decisions are. And we can stand there and we can push, pull, cajole, wheedle, berate, whatever it is that our client needs to help them to get up to Cathedral Lake.
You are the personal exercise consultant, but in the financial arena, and helping them continue and letting them know that, yes, you can do it, and help them do it. Because even though you give them all this information, suggestions, they're actually going to have to implement all this themselves. Is that correct?
They do. They have to implement it, and it's really interesting when we talk to clients, to potential clients. They are interviewing us, and we're absolutely interviewing them. One of the things we started off discussing in the beginning was that they're resistant to change. We have what's called the yes but rule. You know, when you're talking to somebody and you make a suggestion and they say yes but.
That doesn't apply to us.
Right. That doesn't apply to us. We can't do it for this reason. Blah, blah. Yeah. We have a yes but rule. If you say yes but, we don't take you. We also, when we're talking to potential new clients, we are really interviewing them to see if they'll execute. Because the last thing I want is a client who doesn't execute and is paying us, because ultimately we'll get the blame.
That's accountability. And if you haven't set that up at the beginning, it's going to be very difficult as you continue.
Absolutely. So every time we have anyone has a call with their CFO, at the end of the call, we say, this is what you have committed to doing, and this is what we have committed to doing. And then we send it out in an email. And then the next call, you start with the commitments.
Since you developed a who does what by when, mm-hmm. that becomes the agenda for the next meeting. And it's 100% accountable because they know, you sent it out.
Yep.
And they have to do something about it.
That's right. And if they don't, there's silence on the other end from their CFO. We don't say, I told you so, when it goes wrong, because, you know, that's not really helpful. But
I'm sure that if this is a system you use, and I've used a lot of clients, that this is either going to be one of the few times they don't do it and they're going to start doing it, mm-hmm. or your relationship with them is coming toward an end.
Yes.
If they can't perform.
And generally what it is they realize, oh, yeah, she told me to do that for a reason. I committed to doing that. I didn't do it. And look, that's what happened. Better do what she says.
Well, you've had a career now that you are very passionate about. Point to one thing in your career where everything began to change. Now, you mentioned one thing when you were 35, you went to graduate school. But since you started your business, has there been any one thing that's moved your business to where it is today?
Well, I talked about that marketing consultant and partnering with him, and that really gave me my start. That gave me those 7 clients that enabled me to leave the law firm. I think not renewing that contract with him, really standing on my own 2 feet, he was doing all my sales and marketing for me, which was great. It was scary to fire him, but it really changed the processes in my company. It changed my staff. It changed what we talked about, because while I was private labeling for him, we had to espouse his ideas. He was a very revenue-driven person. We are very profit-driven. And it has given us a lot of freedom to really grow and become the company we are.
So essentially that playmaking move gave you the aha that helps you with your clients, because they have to experience that aha themselves.
They do. And, you know, we can stand on the other side and say, we've done it. We've taken that leap of faith. We have crunched the numbers. We've made the hard decisions. We get it. We understand it.
You've had a number of people you've dealt with over the years. Any specific mentors you can think of, or any bosses you might have had that had an influence on how you structured your business?
You know, it's so funny. I had a boss when I was in retail who said, you learn more from a bad boss than a good boss. I do think you learn from everybody. And I think, ironically, that contract I didn't renew. The client for whom I was private labeling was, especially in this particular business, the most influential person. He's got a very successful coaching business, and I learned an immense amount from him. I learned a lot about sales and marketing. He had quarterly meetings, and I would learn about sales and marketing at the quarterly meetings. I learned a lot about personal development and mindset. I learned how to coach people. I was working with one of his clients one day, and he came up and he said, you know, if you do it this way, they come to the realization faster, and it's less stress on your psyche. Well, it's like it won't be so draining.
Essentially what you're doing, you're a financial coach to your clients.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
They now have someone they can call when they need
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
You're also holding them to what they said they were going to do, the accountability.
Yeah.
Which is what a coach does.
We do.
Now, you had an obstacle at one point about your self-worth as far as what you thought you and your business was worth. How did you deal with that?
You know, when something's really easy for you, you tend to not put a lot of emphasis on it or a lot of value on it. What I do is easy. Reading a P&L for me happens in a millisecond, and it's easy. And it was, for a very long time, hard for me to understand that other people couldn't do that. What do you mean you can't read this? It's so logical to me. It's so plain to me. And so I didn't place a lot of financial value on that. And I tended to undercharge. And there came a day when I realized I'm worth more than this. I have a skill set that other people don't have. Other people have skill sets that I don't have. Don't ask me to help you with your sales and marketing. Not my bliss. Can't do that. Hire people to do that. So yeah, really realizing what I'm worth and standing in my power and saying, that's not right. This is what it's going to be. And once you have that aha moment, it's amazing what happens with your conversions. Once you truly understand what you're worth when you're talking to potential clients, they get that loud and clear.
Since sales and marketing isn't really your, as I put it, your bailiwick, you do have some events coming up for your clients and to attract some clients. What do you have coming up?
Well, the first event we have coming up is September 21st. It is a half-day event to work on the 6 building blocks of cash. We talk to so many people that have a weak foundation, and we want to give them the tools to be successful. So that one's fun. That one's in Fort Worth. Now, in early October, we're actually doing what's called a vision plan weekend, and that is out in Arizona. I'm not a big proponent. Hold on to your hat here. I'm not a big proponent of the business plan. I feel like people write them and they shove them in a drawer. I really like a vision plan. It communicates your vision, where you're going, what your business looks like, and then it talks about how you're going to get there. You cannot get to a location if you don't know where you're going. If you can't touch it, taste it, smell it, feel it, you can't make decisions that will get you there. I mean, for instance, we're sitting in my office. We've just been here. In fact, my open house was last night. I decorated and made every decision in this office in 2 weeks. And I could do that because I knew my vision. I knew what it looked like. So it was easy to do. And
you
I think
make a decision based on what that picture looks like.
Based on what that picture looks like. So we spend an entire weekend going over that picture and then building out the 6 parts of your business to conform to that. So
let me ask you about that. You're the author of 6 Key Numbers Every Entrepreneur Should Know, and you just mentioned 6 things. Where can someone find that?
Well, you can find 6 Key Numbers Every Entrepreneur Should Know on Amazon, Kindle, and of course on my website at cathcap.com.
Well, let me ask you this then. Where can people learn more about Cathedral Capital? Just from your website or are there other sources?
Mostly from our website. You're always welcome to call our office at 817-338-1011. We do answer the phone on a regular basis.
And that number is also on the Playmakers Talk Show website. Brooke, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. You are definitely a playmaker.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
This has been a terrific show. We've been speaking with Brooke Lively. Brooke is the CEO and founder of Cathedral Capital. Thank you again, Brooke, for being a playmaker. It's been great having you on the show, and thanks to all of you for listening and joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.